Please turn with me now in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. For those of you who weren't able to be with us last week, we've resumed our series of studies here in 1 Corinthians. This morning we want to consider together the body of Christ. Again, our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. Let's hear God's word. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we just bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity to be here together this morning. Thankful for our life. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for each other. We ask now for your help. We pray now for your grace. We ask that your Spirit would be poured out upon us as we consider your word together, that we might better understand who we are together. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Children, this morning I want you to think about your body and all the different parts of your body. Okay? Think about your hands and all the wonderful things you can do with your hands. You can clap. You can wave. You can draw and paint. You can pick things up. You can lift things. You can carry things. You can push things and pull things. You can throw things and catch things. There's all kind of amazing things you can do with your hands. Now think of all the things you can do with your mouth. You can talk. You can sing. You can make silly sounds. You can eat. You can drink. You can cough. Some people can whistle. There's all kind of things you can do with your mouth. Now think of all the things you can do with your eyes. All the things you can look at with your eyes. And all the things you can listen to with your ears. Your body is made up of all kinds of different parts. And every part of your body is different. But every part of your body is important. Every part of your body is special. This morning I want to see that's the way it is with Christians. Every single Christian is different. But every single Christian is important. Every Christian is special. And we are all connected. every Christian is part of Christ's body. Look with me at our text this morning, beginning with verse 12. Paul says, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Okay? Paul says your body has lots of different parts. Okay? He calls them members. Your hands a member of your body. Your legs a member. He says your body has lots of different parts, but it's one body. And he says that's the way it is with Christians. Lots of different people, but one body. He says, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now, if you remember last week, we saw how God freely pours out His Spirit on His people. Okay? If you want to experience God's Spirit in your life, all you have to do is ask. Because God will freely pour out His Spirit on you. Jesus said, you know, He says, you and I are sinful. We can be very selfish and foolish. And yet, you know how to give good things to your kids. When your kids ask, you know how to feed them. Jesus says, how much more will our loving Heavenly Father simply give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? If you want to experience the power of God's Spirit in your life, all you have to do is ask. And He will fill your heart and He will fill your life with the presence of His Spirit. And when we saw last week that God's Spirit does at least two things in our lives. For one thing, God's Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The Bible calls that the fruit of God's Spirit. Just like an apple tree produces apples and a peach tree produces peaches, God's Spirit produces love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. So, if you're having trouble being patient, if you haven't been very merciful lately, or you're struggling to be faithful, ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Because God's Spirit will produce within you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God's Spirit will produce what we call the fruit of His Spirit in your life. But secondly, we also saw that God's Spirit gives each Christian His or her own unique blend of talents and abilities. Okay? God's Spirit gives everyone what we call the fruit of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. But God gives each individual Christian His or her own unique blend of what we call spiritual gifts. So, for example, you might be really good with children. Or maybe you're a great listener. Maybe you're a good counselor. Maybe you're a strong leader. Okay? God's Spirit produces the same kind of fruit in every believer's life, but God's Spirit gives each Christian his or her own unique blend of different spiritual abilities and gifts. Well, now this morning we see another thing that God's Spirit does in our lives. That is, He connects you to other Christians. Maybe you've experienced this. You're on vacation, or you go somewhere you don't normally go. You meet someone you never met before. Person turns out to be a Christian. You've never seen this person before. Maybe you will never see this person again. But for that 15 minutes, there's a connection. Because God's Spirit connects you to other Christians. Just like the parts of the body are all connected, God's Spirit connects you to other Christians. Paul says, in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We're all connected into one body. God's Spirit brings together people of different religious, social, and economic backgrounds. Paul says, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Now, you know what a Jewish person is? A Jewish person was someone descended from Abraham. But more importantly, a Jewish person is someone whose life was shaped and defined by certain rules, certain customs, certain traditions based on their understanding of the Bible. A Jewish person's whole life was shaped by all these traditions and rules that were designed to keep that person separate Okay, if you were Jewish, you had a culture, you had traditions and rules designed to keep you separate from people who weren't Jewish. You didn't eat certain foods, you didn't do certain things, all designed to keep you separate from those people over there. That's what it meant to be Jewish. But if you were Greek, you were just the opposite. The Jewish people had all these different rules. The Greeks had no rules at all. That was the only rule the Greeks had, was no rules. You could worship this God, or you could worship that God, or you could worship this God and that God and another God. In fact, by this time, a lot of the Greek people no longer believed the old Greek religions. Well, some of them did, but a lot of them no longer believed the old Greek stories. They came to think of them more as fables. You know, maybe they had a spiritual lesson, but a lot of them no longer believed they were true. Many of the Greek people by this time believed more in philosophy. It didn't matter. As if you were Greek, you could believe in this God or that God. You could worship this God at home, and then when you're visiting a friend, you could worship his God or her God. You could believe in this philosophy or that. It didn't matter. Because with the Greeks, there were no rules except the rule that there's no rules. They could all just get along. You couldn't think of any two groups of people more different than the Jews and the Greeks. Except perhaps the slaves and the freemen. You know what a slave is? A slave was somebody else's property. You could become a slave either by being captured in battle. You could be born a slave. Sometimes you got yourself in financial trouble, and so you might sell yourself as a slave. But if you were a slave, you were someone else's property. You had no freedom. You had to do what your master told you to do when he or she told you to do it. You didn't have any rights. Okay, so in many cases, as a slave, you couldn't even own property. As a slave, you were the very bottom of society. The opposite was the free man. Free man could do whatever he wanted whenever he wanted to. He could go wherever he wanted. He had rights that were guaranteed and protected by the Roman government. He could own property. In fact, if you were a free man, you could own a slave. And you could tell the slave what to do. You could treat the slave as your property. If the slaves were at the bottom, free men were at the top. Paul identifies the four most extreme elements of society. The Jewish people who are off over here by themselves, the Greeks who anything goes, the slaves who are at the bottom, and the freemen at the top. And Paul says, God pours out his spirit on people from all these different groups and brings them together so that what we have in common is more important than what separates us. He says, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. He doesn't say your differences are not important. I mean, if you're a slave, that's pretty important. If you were Jewish or if you're Greek, that's important. It's part of who you are. But if you are a Christian, that no longer defines you. Even today, in our culture, we tend to define one another based on how much money you make, or your heritage, you know, the color of your skin, or your background, or your level of education, or how attractive you are, or whether or not you're athletic, or how well you do. You know, we tend to put people in groups, and we define ourselves, or we let other people define us based on what group we're part of. Well, those differences can be important. If you happen to be athletic, or you happen to be, like me, Italian, now, you know, those differences are important. But in Christ, that does not define you. You're not defined by your background. You're not defined by what other people think of you. You're not defined by the way you grew up or the way you were raised. You're not defined by the way you look. You're not defined by your victories and your success or your failure. If you're a Christian, you are defined by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you. You are defined by the fact that you are forgiven, you are washed clean, you are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on you. This is what Paul says. He says, Jews or Greeks, slaves or freemen, all were made to drink of the same Spirit. these people are so different, and yet what they have in common is so much more important than the difference. These are people who have tasted of the Spirit of God. What we have in common so far surpasses any of these things that might be different among us. Together, we are the visible representation of Christ here on earth. Again, Paul refers to us as a body. But he doesn't just mean any body. He's speaking of us as together being the body of Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, he took on flesh, he took on a human body, and in that body, he is a baby, he lay in the manger. And in that body, he grew up as a little boy into a young man. And in that body, he walked along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. In that body, Jesus stilled the storms. In that body, Jesus laid his hands on the widow's son and brought him back to life. You know, in his body, Jesus took the children in his arms and he blessed them. In his body, he taught people. And he warned them, and he counseled them, and he listened to them, and he helped them, and he healed them. In his body, Jesus was beaten and scourged, forced to carry his cross. In his body, he hung on the cross, and he bled and died. In his body, he was laid in a tomb. In his body, he rose again. Transformed, but still his body. And in his body, he rose up into the heavens. And now in his body, Jesus sits on his throne. Jesus is not here in his body anymore. Now Paul says, you and I are his body. Jesus pours out his Spirit on us so that we are his hands and his feet. We are the means, the human means today by which Jesus helps, by which he takes the children in our arms, by which he lays his hands on people. We are the human means, the eyes and the ears, the feet, the legs, the hands of Jesus. Paul says he pours out his Spirit on us, and together we are the body of Christ, the visible representation of Christ here on earth. So as a Christian, you're part of Christ's body, whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes you probably don't feel like part of the body. You know, you probably don't feel like you fit in. Sometimes you think, I'm nothing like her. I don't have his gifts. I don't understand her. I can't relate to him. I don't understand what he's going through. I don't know why she acts that way. I can't do the things he does. There are times in life when you perhaps think, I don't really fit in. But as a Christian, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you are part of Christ's body, whether you feel like it or not. Imagine if your foot could talk. That'd be an interesting sitcom, I think, if your foot could talk. Imagine if your foot could talk, and your foot looks at your hand, and your foot says, I'm nothing like a hand. I don't have fingers. I can't write. I guess I don't belong. Well, that'd be ridiculous. And your foot would still be part of your body, whether it felt like it or not. That's exactly what Paul says. He says, if the foot should say, well, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong, he says that wouldn't make any less a part of the body. Even if it feels like it doesn't belong, it still belongs. In fact, diversity and differences among Christians are absolutely essential. You know, sometimes we feel like we don't belong because I just don't have that person's gifts. She's just not like me. I don't see things the way she does. Well, of course not. That's because you are part of the body. And the body, by definition, is made up of different parts. Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Imagine if you were in a church where everyone was just like you. I mean, they saw things just like you. They thought like you. They had all your strengths and all your gifts. Wouldn't that be great? That would be be weird. That's what he says. He says that would be like someone who's one big eyeball. Okay? That's just weird. If you were all eyes, you couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see anything. He says, if everything was an eye, well, how would you hear? If everything was an ear, how would you smell? That would be weird. Sometimes the very thing we want, the very thing we expect for, would be almost monstrous. Paul says it's important that we be different because different people are sensitive to different things. Okay? Your eyes are wonderful, but they simply cannot hear. Your ears are great, but they just cannot smell. Well, in the same way, in the church, different people are sensitive to different things. Some people are very sensitive to interpersonal relationships. You know, some people are just tuned in. They walk in a room and they can tell who's having a bad day and who's got their feelings hurt. Other people are clueless. They just don't have that sense. But maybe they're really sensitive to financial matters. Or maybe they're sensitive to theology. You know, maybe for you, theology is just a big blur. Someone else is very sensitive that we think carefully through the Bible. Different people are like different parts of the body. One is like an eye, and one is like an ear, and one is like a nose. And of course, we're all different. And of course, some people are sensitive to things that you are not sensitive to. And sometimes you're aware of things other people don't pick up on. That's because we're part of a body. And as a body, we are all different. We are designed that way. Every Christian is part of the body of Christ. We need each other. And we must care for each other. Verse 21. Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Sometimes we're tempted to separate ourselves, either because we've had our feelings hurt, or perhaps we're afraid of being hurt, and so we kind of keep a distance. Sometimes we do it deliberately. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it, but you know, you get so close to these people over here that you just never stop to talk to these people over there. And sometimes we inadvertently cut ourselves off from one another. Paul says, every part of the body needs every other part of the body. Every member of the church needs every other member of the church. And so I'm gonna recommend something this morning that is downright radical. Some of you may be shocked. Some of you may leave. What if, this is crazy, what if next Sunday you sat in a different pew? I know, crazy talk. It's crazy talk. But just what if? Just what if? What if you talked to somebody different next Sunday? I know that's crazy, but just what if there's someone in the church that you just haven't really gotten to know? Not on purpose, it just hasn't come up. And what if God has uniquely blessed you to bless that person? And what if that person is uniquely blessed to bless you? And what if by inadvertently not getting to know that person, you have inadvertently deprived that person of being blessed, and you have deprived yourself of being blessed? Paul says, we need each other. Every one of us needs each other, and we need to be needed by each other. I can probably say that better. In Christ, we need each other, and we are needed by each other. Okay. Some Christians might seem unimportant or feel unimportant, but they're absolutely essential. You'll have days when maybe you're looking in the mirror and you just don't feel good about yourself. There'll be times when you question your place in life. You question your value, your identity. There'll be times you'll think, you know what? If I am part of the body, I must be the foot. You know, I must be the lowest, dirtiest, smelliest part of the body there is. If I'm part of the body, I'm the foot. appears to be the image Paul is using in our text. He says there are some parts of the body that we think of as less honorable. And some parts of the body we think of as less presentable. And probably one of those parts of the body he's thinking of is your feet. Because just like today, even in the ancient world, you know, you think of your feet, you think of that as something kind of unclean. Feet aren't particularly attractive. And especially in the ancient world, you walked everywhere. And you wore sandals. And they didn't have sidewalks, and so your feet got dirty, they got sweaty, and feet were not thought of as very presentable. Sometimes you're going to feel like the foot. You know, sometimes you just feel like you're at the bottom. You feel like you don't have much to contribute, you don't have much to offer, and sometimes you feel unclean. You just feel dirty. In fact, in a sense, that's a mark of being a Christian, that God's Spirit sometimes makes you aware of your sinfulness, and you will recognize that, and you will feel unclean. Paul says, on the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. What he seems to have in mind here is that in the ancient world, you didn't bathe every day. I mean, you couldn't afford that. You didn't shower every day, but you washed your feet. You know, your feet, if we think of as kind of unclean, receive special care. When someone is struggling, when someone is feeling down, when someone is going through a difficulty, that's when we need to show that person special care. Now, in the world, it doesn't work that way. In the world, if you are down, that's when somebody's going to step on you. But in the church, we're a body. We're all connected. And so when one person is feeling like the foot, the rest of us need to show that part special care, special kindness, special consideration. In fact, sometimes certain people need special care just for that reason. Maybe you're laid aside, you're not doing well physically, maybe you don't have work, or maybe you're swamped with work, maybe you're stressed out, maybe you feel like you don't have many gifts. You know, all of us will go through that phase when we don't feel like we have much to offer. Maybe God is allowing you to be in that place right now, specifically so that other people in the congregation can grow in learning to care for you. That's what Paul says. He says, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So Paul is saying, I know you're all different. He says there's a reason for that. It's not so that these people can go all over there and all these people can go over here. He says it's so that we learn to take care of each other. And when one person is struggling, it may be not just for that person's benefit, but so that other people learn how to show kindness and compassion. Verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If a cinder block fell on your foot, you wouldn't think to yourself, it's just my foot. Let him take care of it. You would say, that's my foot. You know, if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one member grieves, we all grieve. That's not an accident. That's because we're connected. God's Spirit has done that. God's Spirit connects us so that when one person grieves, we all grieve. When one person is hurt, we're all hurt. And he says, when one person is honored, when one person receives a good news, or one person receives a real answer to prayer, or one person receives a great blessing, when one person is honored, we all rejoice. It's like that cinder block falls on your foot. The whole body, you're bent over, you're trying to make that foot feel better. And then when you've got that foot soaking and it starts to feel better, the whole body feels better. We suffer together. We rejoice together. We celebrate together because we are connected, because we're one body. And if we are one body, if we are the body of Christ, that means Jesus cares for us. in Ephesians, Paul says, no man hates his body, but he loves it and takes care of it. And what he means is that you care about your body, and you feed it, you bathe it, you clothe it. There might be some parts of your body you don't like. You know, you wish your body was healthier or looked different or felt better. But you care about your body. You take care of it. Paul says every person loves his body and takes care of it. And then he says, oh, I was thinking about Jesus and the church. In other words, if a person takes care of his body and feeds it and washes it and bathes it and clothes it, and if we're the body of Jesus, then we can be assured Jesus cares about us. Jesus cares for you. And he feeds you. He provides you. He feeds you with his word. He nourishes you. And he bathes you. He cleanses you. This morning, in our call to worship, we read how at the Passover meal, the biggest meal of the year, Jesus is presiding over the meal. And then he gets up from the table and he puts a towel around his waist like a servant, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And John says that was to demonstrate why Jesus had come into the world. That he who is the eternal Son of God came into the world, and he took on flesh, and he took on the form of a servant, and he went to the cross to bathe us, to wash us. This morning we sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood is filthy. I mean, in the Bible, blood is considered unclean. Normally you think of blood as a stain. Well, that's exactly the point. Jesus became unclean on the cross that you might become clean. Jesus died on the cross to take your guilt, to take your sin, to take all that is foul. I mean, sin is foul. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus became sin that you might be washed, that you might be cleansed. So we can say that Jesus cares for us as his body by washing us with his spirit and his blood. And the Spirit of God takes what Jesus did on the cross and applies it to your life. Okay, when God pours out his spirit in your life, he doesn't just produce the fruit of his spirit. He doesn't just give you gifts. The first and most important thing the Spirit of God does is he points you to Jesus, to what Christ has done on the cross, so that you trust in what Jesus has done. The Spirit takes what Jesus did on the cross and he applies it to your life. So we can say that Jesus cares for you by washing you with his spirit and with his blood. He feeds you, he cares for you, he washes you, he cleanses you, and he clothes you. You know, often in the Bible, the good deeds of Jesus are described like a perfect robe. When you trust in Jesus, our guilt and sin is put on him, and then he gives you his good deeds like a perfect robe, so that you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You stand before the Father, accepted as a child of God, worthy, based on what Christ has done, worthy to receive the Spirit of God in your life. And now, as the body of Christ, clothed in his righteousness, Jesus sends us out. He sends you out to be his hands, and to be his feet, and to be his mouth, to love, to lift up, to listen, to show compassion. What an honor. We who are by nature dirty and unclean have the blessing and honor of being the body of Jesus on this earth. Every Christian is part of the body of Christ. We all need each other. We need to care for each other. But clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, washed and cared for by Jesus, he sends you out in the world to be the hands and the feet, to be the eyes and the ears, to show the love and the mercy and the kindness of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we all need to be washed. Even this early in the morning, we have said things, probably even on the way here, we said things, we have thought things, that need to be washed and made clean. Thank you that you came, Jesus, to wash us, to cleanse us, to forgive us, to dress us in your perfect robes of righteousness. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of representing you here on earth. Bless us, Lord, and send us out to be a blessing as your body. Help us to be, Lord, your hands and your feet, your eyes and your ears, to love, minister, and to serve. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.